This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with me, Melissa Idris, also Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani. 7:45 on the clock. Coming up in 20 minutes, we've got The Breakfast Grill with Petronas Chemicals today. Julian, you're going to be speaking to Dato' Sazali Hamza, the CEO.
That's right. This is a subsidiary of the main oil company, Petronas, and they are pretty dominant in Southeast Asia, actually producing byproducts of hydrocarbon and chemicals, largest methanol producer in ASEAN, second largest urea producer when the Samur project comes on stream. And also, you know, their products go into very basic things that we use on an everyday basis, plastics, packaging, clothing, fertilizers, and so on.
You know, we just spoke about ethical investing. You know, an $850 billion company like the Norway Sovereign Fund is now exiting companies like coal, for instance. And whether or not Petronas Chemicals is within that whole notion of a company that is not sustainable.
Well, you know, we also talked about Petronas's quarterly results, the parent company's quarterly results recently, and Petronas has been really hit hard by the weakening oil prices, etc. But Petronas Chemicals, a pet chem, has been doing rather well, so unlike its parent company.
Yeah, it's a negative correlation to the factors that would affect Petronas, the parent. They benefit from a weak ringgit, but also on the flip side, their products have a very high correlation to oil. But going back to the ethicalness or the ethicality, that's such a word of their business.
Yeah, just make it up, that's fine.
I guess this is where it's very hard to divorce consumption from the environmental degradation that the product raises. But also, I think what Petronas Chemical does is they go one step away from the actual environmental destruction, because once the oil has already been produced, and these are all the byproducts and the chemicals coming out of the production of oil, and this feeds into the production line, I guess it's already there. I mean, you've already destroyed. This is not a justification, by the way.
Yeah.
But then, you know, let's make use of the byproducts.
Right. Okay, well, since we had it already, why don't we just use it?
Well, let's find out more from Dato' Sazali Hamza, the CEO of Petronas Chemicals Group, coming up on The Breakfast Grill. But in other business news, we've got SPAD, or the Land and Public Transport Commission, looking to table a final working paper to the Cabinet relating to ride-share services. So this working paper has been submitted to the EPU, the Economic Planning Unit, and is currently being reviewed, and it will no doubt impact the way companies like GrabCar and Uber operate here in Malaysia.
Yeah, because you see, the size of the operations of GrabCar and Uber and perhaps any other rideshare in Malaysia is very disruptive. They have about 60,000 Uber local partners in Malaysia. GrabCar, there's no official statistics, but a lot of people are saying that they have as much or as many as Uber drivers. And taxis in Malaysia, particularly in Kuala Lumpur, has about 64,000. So it's actually the same size that we're talking about. So if SPAD curbs down on GrabCar and Uber, this is as good as clamping down on the entire taxi operation. This is size that we're talking about here.
So SPAD has been on The Breakfast Grill twice in recent times, both by the CEO as well as the chairman. And they said as much that they're going to table something for the government. In fact, they did that survey, which the results overwhelmingly were in favor of the usage of Uber and Grab disruptive technologies.
80%.
Absolutely. 80%. So I'm not sure if there is an ethical... I mean, talking about ethics, right? There is very little ethical issue in this, save for how do you protect the employment of these taxi drivers, which to a great extent their fortunes depend on those rent-seeking practices. Taxi rentals are so high that go into these companies that are just conduits for licensing money going into them. So is there a market solution already? Yes, there is. Is it a bad solution? I don't think it is. So that paper that is going to be submitted to Parliament is merely to state the rules in which these companies operate. And I think that it should should be something that should answer the question of whether this is going to be good for consumers and for riders.
Yeah, so whether or not it will be good for consumers and for riders depends on the type of legislation that is being enacted. One can easily argue that no legislation is the best because it's a free-for-all kind of system, but then cowboy system kicks in and whether or not the strongest of the fittest survive.
I don't know if I agree with you on that. I do think that some regulation is needed, and you have to look at it from every point of view, not just the consumer's point of view, which I think is really difficult for SPAD. I don't know. I mean, we're just guessing here. Who knows what's in this working paper, right? Perhaps it is, a guideline for a more efficient working system. And perhaps the government may not lose out on revenue. We're thinking about taxi operators. We're thinking about consumers. We're thinking about fostering innovation in companies like Uber and GrabCar and having them operate freely and efficiently in Malaysia. So all these different elements come into play when regulators draw up papers like this, whether or not each consideration is given equal deliberation, right? Is another matter.
I think perhaps some of the provisions that will come up in this paper are things like insurance policies, how do you protect the riders, and perhaps how do you pay off that very expensive infrastructural cost that now the taxi drivers are bearing? How do you make that a very level playing field? But I don't think that our laws are remiss of thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal kind of laws. Those are already existing within our current frameworks.
But you talk, Julian, often of how Uber has huge financial backing and they can afford to throw the market.
They can
right?
spoil the market.
They can spoil the
but
market.
But so can the government. Why should the government tax these taxi drivers so much with such punitive rental policies? I mean, I think that the answer should again be guided by what the consumer wants. I was in Bangkok over the weekend and I was trying to take a taxi for what amounted to a 3-minute drive. Forgive me, but I didn't want to walk in the hot weather.
Yes.
And the taxi driver did not want to use the meter and wanted to charge me 100 baht for a 3-minute drive. But when I used, when I went onto Uber and Grab, I Ubered and grabbed it in Bangkok, by the way. It was no more than 150 baht for what amounted to a 30 to 40 minute
wow.
journey. So
wow.
you can see the competitiveness of what this does to consumers and to riders. I mean, it's a benefit. It's a net benefit to consumers.
So it is, because of them being a net benefit to consumers, the whole notion of how the economics of the driver themselves earn. I think one tweet coming in, Alvin is asking, do Uber and GrabCar drivers earn more than regular taxis? The way to answer this is to look at the cost structure, because if taxis have to pay a daily rent because of the punitive measures that they've been imposed, how can they make more than Uber and GrabCar drivers that do not have that cost element?
I would have to say, Alvin, that I would hazard a guess that yes, Uber and GrabCar drivers earn more than regular taxis. Thanks for your tweet. But what do you think? Do you think that's true, Jules?
I think to a certain extent. And I also think there are wider issues, because if Malaysia wants to attract investment, you see, we're not like China or India. I mean, by the way, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, is in India, just tried to woo the Indians to coming into the Apple ecosystem. And, Eduardo Severin, one of the co-founders of Facebook, settled in Singapore many years ago and now launching some kind of fund over there to attract investments. Singapore is a very small country, does not have the ability to form their own ecosystem, but has the ability to attract investment. Mm. And they've had this biotech policy for a very long time. Mm. And now Malaysia wants to follow that kind of footstep. So I'm just asking whether Malaysia is right now at the crossroads. Can we be friendly to these kind of business ideas to attract the needed investments?
So I think at the end of the day, it boils down to whether this working paper is going to make, companies like Uber and GrabCar, the work environment for these companies to be more conducive, or whether it will favour some parties more than others. Well, we'll just have to find out. 7:54 right now, we've got the boss of Tune Protect, Junior Cho, who has submitted his resignation effective July 15th due to personal reasons.
What's with all these CEOs resigning for personal reasons? They can mean so many things, right?
Yeah, it was like, personal reasons lah. This is how they answer, I guess.
Which part of personal?
Which part of personal?
Do you not understand?
Ouch! So, okay. Well, Junichou is stepping down. The CEO is going to be replaced by the chairman of the company, Razman Hafiz Abu Razarim, and he will take over as group CEO following the departure of Junichou. And of course, Tune Protect is one of those many digital insurers that is coming up around the world. In Malaysia, I think another company would be You for Life, I suppose. And of course, it's not apple to apple comparison, but you know, digital insurers do make a great feature in the world of insurance today.
Well, I also see this as kind of a no-frills insurance, right? So, I mean, we want all that fat trimmed off everything now. We want it to be lean and mean and value for money. So I guess that in that sense, there's a niche market for this. There's a business proposition for it.
Oh, very niche. Yeah. I think what Tune Insurance has, the big advantage is the backbone of the AirAsia database. And when you buy a ticket on the AirAsia website, they would ask you whether you want to have insurance to go with that. It's like McDonald's and French fries, right?
Supersize it.
Do you want fries to go with that? Do you want travel insurance to go with that? And that's a formidable force, and whether Tune Insurance can get out of that AirAsia ecosystem is a growth issue that they need to address as well, to go beyond the AirAsia database. But then again, some of you may ask, what need is there to go beyond that, because that's a huge database.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what the new CEO Razman said. He says that he will look forward with optimism and excitement to steer Tune Protect to become the digital insurer of choice, because everything is done online, from assessment to policy. It's meant down to cut all the fat that you spoke of, Melissa. Commission costs have always been a big thing for insurance premiums. So once these kind of costs is going to push down, it is an area that they can actually go into. So this is that, you know, knowing AirAsia and the Tune Group, if there is a bigger pie that can be accessed and attacked, they will do so. And I think this is one of the areas that
go. I untick the insurance option.
Oh, you do?
I untick that. I always make it a point to untick it, because I think, and this is where I would say that the digital competition is heating up so much, because you can get a third party policy that is more flexible to your needs. And you can buy that on an annual basis. You can buy that according to region.
Yeah.
That will cover your travel insurance needs. So I think that we've also come to a crossroads with this kind of capturing of the ecosystem, because that ecosystem can also go outside of the system to protect themselves.
But also it takes kind of market awareness, right? So a little bit more education on the user's part perhaps for this. But let's move on to other news. Goldman Sachs is in the news because they are the latest bank to sustain a shareholder protest over executive pay. On Friday, a third of votes were cast against remuneration and pay hike of top managers in the bank.
Yeah, so I think this is a revolution of investors' rights. It's not just Goldman Sachs that have faced similar resistance from the investors. JP Morgan has faced similar resistance. Exxon has faced similar resistance. Even this company in what they call fast fashion, which is H&M, based in Sweden, by the way, H&M is also having made to answer questions on labor conditions.
You don't
and so
have
on.
To explain H&M to me. Most of my salary transfers directly there.
You have a debit direction, right? Direct debit. But this is not purely a private company. This is a kind of social company, because they've gotten bailouts from the US government. So they have to be accountable for the heads of the bosses of these institutions, whether they're using the money correctly. So I think it's a good thing. And you mentioned Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan. The shareholders just voted to have the separation of the chairman and CEO function. And I think that is a good thing, because that is too dictatorial.
Yeah, so Jamie Dimon is the CEO and chairman of JP Morgan. The same thing is happening here in Goldman Sachs, where Lloyd Blankfein is also the CEO and chairman of Goldman Sachs. A lot of these investor rights group, including ISS, is arguing that this is simply dictatorial and doesn't improve on the governance. So ISS will continue to lobby for the separation of CEO and chairman.
But with Tune Protect, the chairman is going to be the CEO, right? So
yes.
The question is whether they're going to look for a new chairman.
Well, that is the question. But based on the announcement, you know, looks like
we don't know yet.
All systems are good. He's going to helm both.
Personal reasons. Okay,
yes,
there you go. All right, it's coming up to news at 8 o'clock. After that, we've got the breakfast grill. Dato' Sazali Hamzah, the CEO of Petronas Chemicals, will be on, so you don't want to miss that. News is up next on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.